ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. பிஃபோர் வி ஸ்டார்ட் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் சீரீஸ் ஆஃப் வெபினார்ஸ் ஆன் அனதர் உபனிஷத், ஐ வாண்ட் டு ஆஃபர் மை சாஷ்டாங்க நமஸ்காரம் அட் த லோட்டஸ் ஃபீட் ஆஃப் மை குரு ஜெகத்குரு ஸ்ரீ பாரதி தீர்த்த மகாஸ்வாமிஜி அண்ட் ஆல்சோ டு ஸ்ரீ விதுசேகர பாரதி மகாஸ்வாமிஜி அண்ட் டு வேரியஸ் ஆச்சாரியாஸ், பர்டிகுலர்லி சுவாமி பரமார்த்தானந்தா, ஹூஸ் லெக்சர்ஸ் ஐ ஹாவ் யூஸ்ட் எக்ஸ்டென்சிவ்லி இன் டிரைவிங் மை நோட்ஸ். டுடே வி ஆர் கோயிங் டு டேக் அப் அனதர் உபனிஷத் கால்டு முண்டக உபனிஷத். It's a wonderful and comprehensive Upanishad, very relatively straightforward Upanishad, and it belongs to the Atharva Veda. It has got 65 mantras spread over 3 chapters, and each chapter has got 2 sections called Khanda, and each chapter itself is called Mundaka. So 3 Mundakas, and each one has got 2 khandas or sections, totally 6 sections, 65 mantras. And the Upanishad starts with a Shanti Pata, and the other introduction with respect to the Upanishad, various messages conveyed through them and all, are already given as introduction in other Upanishads. So I am not going to repeat them here. So we will straight away go to the Shanti Pata of this Upanishad. This mantra also is very popular to many of you. I will just recite it. Bhadram karne bishrunuyama devah, bhadram pashye makshabhir yajatrah, stirai rangai istuttuvagum sastanubihi, vishema devahitam yadayuh, swastina indro vriddhashravah, swastina pusha vishvavedah, swastina starchyo arishtanemihi, ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. அண்ட் ஆல் தி ரிக்வேத உபனிஷத் ஆஸ் வி ஹவ் சீன் ஏர்லியர், தே ஹாவ் ஏ சாந்தி மந்த்ரா விச் வி சா வென் வி டிட் த ஐத்தரேய உபனிஷத், வாங் மே மனசி பிரதிஷ்டிதா, தட் மந்த்ரா. அண்ட் இந்த கிருஷ்ண யஜுர்வேத உபனிஷத் இட் ஹாஸ் சஹனாவவது ஆஸ் தி சாந்தி மந்த்ரா. அண்ட் சுக்ல யஜுர்வேத உபனிஷத் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்சதே. ஸோ ஃபார் ஈச் உபனிஷத் தர் ஈஸ் அ சாந்தி மந்த்ரா. ஸோ பஞ்ச சாந்தி பாட்டாஸ் கரஸ்பாண்டிங் டு 5 டிஃபரண்ட் வேதாஸ். அண்ட் வி ஆல்ரெடி சா இன் தி அதர் உபனிஷத் த பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் தி சாந்தி பாட்டா ஆல்சோ. இட் இஸ் எசென்ஷியலி டு பி ரிலீவ்டு ஃப்ரம் ஆல் 3 டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆப்ஸ்டக்கிள்ஸ், namely adhyatmika, adidaivika and adibhautika kind of pratibandhas. So freedom from disturbances or pratibandhas, from inward forces, natural forces or environmental forces, so that I can complete my study of this Upanishad. So this particular mantra, bhadram karnebihi, is a general shanti pada and a very very beautiful prayer also. Through this prayer, the student asks for the fitness of the entire personality. Because when I listen to the class, so many factors are involved. All the factors of my personality must function as a team for successful shravanam. That means what? The physical body must cooperate. For now I have announced the lectures for 1.5 hours, not 1 hour. So that should, the knee should cooperate, the back should cooperate. Of course, people when they are listening in the comforts of their home, they can sit on chairs and all that. And the jnanendriyas, they must cooperate. Karmendriyas have to cooperate. If somebody is in the habit of taking notes, many may not perhaps, but if they are taking notes. And the mind also must not get distracted. The intellect also must be absorbing. So all these faculties are called different karanams, instruments. So karya karana sanghata should be there. And according to our tradition, there are various deities who are in charge of every particular faculty. That is, God is one, but the departments are many. In Shastras, the department heads, they are all called Adhishtana Devatas. These names are familiar to us because in Tattva Bodha itself I have introduced it. And for every organ, we have an Adhishtana Devata. And in this prayer, we are invoking the grace of all those Devatas, asking for what? May my body be fit at the, all the time. Similarly, my mind. This is the prayer. So we will interpret it actually both the ways, from the spiritual angle as well as general angle. Hey Devaha, Devaha represents the Adhishtana Devatas, presiding deities of various faculties. Karne bihi bhadram shrunuyama. Through our ears, karna means ears, karne bihi, through our ears, we should always hear bhadram, auspicious things, pleasing words. May everyone behave with me pleasingly. Whatever I hear must be pleasing to me, bhadram, favorable. They should be anandakaram, they should be pleasant, smooth, endearing words I should hear. And bhadram means mangalam. So this is the general meaning. But in the spiritual context, there is only one ultimate auspicious thing, which is called what? Brahman or Bhagavan. Pavitranam, pavitramyo, mangalanancha, mangalam. In Vishnu Sahasranama we have seen this. May I listen to Bhadram, means what? May I listen to the Lord, Bhagavan, Brahman. In Vedantic context, Bhadram refers to Brahman or Bhagavan. O Lord, let me hear about Brahman in these classes. Karna is ears. Akshabir yajatraha. Yajatraha, they refer to devatas. Devas are called yajatraha because they protect, they help those who pray to them. So yajanam means prayer or worship. Thranam means protection. So yajantam trayate iti yajatraha. Those deities who help those who do the shantipata, who do the prayers, who do the nitya pujas. Therefore, devatas are called yajatraha. Here, sambodhana, this is an address. Hey yajatra devatas, O devatas. And my second prayer is what? Bhadram pashyema. Through my eyes, may I see only mangalam, good things. O God, make sure that all my experiences are mangalam, giving ananda to me. This is the general meaning. And what is the spiritual meaning again? Bhadram means again refers to Brahman. The ultimate goal is what? Sarvatra Brahma Darshanam. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam. Everything is Brahman. Let this teaching lead me to that condition where I see God alone everywhere. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. That must be my vision. Therefore, Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat, Bhadram Pashyema. Sarvatra Ishwaraha Pashyema. And Tiraihi Angaihi Sushtuvagam Saha. May we be able to appreciate your glory, admire your glories all the time, glories of the Lord. Here the deities, they refer to all the deities, otherwise called Ishwara. So let me be able to appreciate Ishwara, the glory of Ishwara everywhere. This is another very, very important thing which we see in the Bhagavad Gita also very elaborately. Discussed from the 7th chapter to the 12th chapter. So initially we look upon the world and God has two separate entities. World is here, Bhagavan is safely somewhere beyond the clouds. So somewhere in Brahma Loka or Vishnu Loka or Kailasa Loka. Even if we bring Bhagavan to the world, he is safely present maybe in Balaji temple or Guruvayur temple, in the Guruvayurappan temple in New Jersey and other places. Therefore we think God and world are two separate entities. And this is how we start our religious life. But our culture says that can be the starting point, but that should never be the end point. Before long, you should discover that God and world are not two separate things. God alone is appearing in the form of Vishwarupa Ishwaraha. Unless we divinize the world, Ragadvesha can never be handled. The most powerful problem is what? Raga and Dvesha, likes and dislikes. They alone cause all emotional disturbances. If they should come down, the Raga Dvesha must come down. If Raga Dvesha should come down, everything must be seen as God alone. Good is also God. The so-called bad is also God. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagate. I should see, and not only that, my very life should become a form of worship. Go everywhere, and converting life into worship is the goal of my life. Here the student says, O Lord, may my life also be like that. Stustubhamsa means appreciating your glories. I carry again the 10th chapter, the Vibhuti Yoga of Bhagavad Gita. And with the help of what? Tanubihi. Here the Tanu represents the scriptures of the very limbs, because scriptures alone talk about the glory of everything as the glory of Lord. Therefore, Tanubihi, that means Veda Mantraihi, Tanubir Stushvagamsaha. May I worship you. How? With healthy limbs. It's a very, very intelligent prayer. May I worship with healthy limbs. Otherwise, you cannot do pradakshinam or namaskara. Just only to do one namaskara, that will be a big project for a lot of people. So, if I have to do sashtanga namaskara, I must be healthy. Therefore, through this prayer, we seek physical fitness also. It's a very beautiful prayer. Vyashema ayuhu, let me spend my entire life as Ishwara Aradhana. What is life? It is Ishwara Aradhana. How much of life I want? Here also the student is very, very careful. He does not say, I want a short life, because generally as we grow, all our prayers are for what? When we are young, we want a long life. Dirga, Ishman, Bhava, is that we bless people. But when we grow old, we always pray, let me die quickly and peacefully. Anayasena maranam vinadenyena jivanam. So, when we are young, our prayer is what? I should live long. And after 60, 70, what is our prayer? Anayasena maranam. I want to die quickly, peacefully. Therefore, our prayers are confusing even to the Lord. Therefore, what should be the right prayer? It's a beautiful prayer here. Devahitam. O Lord, I am not asking for longer life or shorter life. Whatever be the life allotted to me, according to the law of karma, hitam, deva hitam. Hitam means allotted. So deva means the God, and it means what? God will allot not according to his wish. God will allot lifespan according to, again what? The law of karma. So deva hitam means karma hitam. If I have to live long according to the law of karma, that is also okay. If I have to die early, that is also okay. So, Yamaya, Dharmarajaya, Mrityavecha, Andakayacha, Vaivasvataya, Kalaya, Sarvabhuta, Krayayacha. Whenever you want, you come, I am ready. I am ready to hand over my body to you. So, what should be our prayer? Not for long life or short life, but for what? Allotted life, that life should be good. So, devahitam yadayuhu vyasema. Whatever be the duration, the quality is important, not the quantity. As nicely there is an English saying that says, don't add years to your life, but add life to your years. Therefore, even if it is 40 years, let it be a lively life in the form of appreciating Ishwara and worshipping him thoroughly through every action. Then the student comes to the specific job at hand. What is his journey? It is Vedanta Vichara. That is his journey. So our whole journey here is Vedanta Vichara. That's enquiry only. So let the journey of enquiry go on smoothly without any obstacles. Therefore, O Devas, may you all give me bon voyage. Swasti. Swasti here means bon voyage. Indro Vridrashravaha, may Lord Indra, Vridrashravaha means of great glory. And what is the glory of Lord Indra? He is the head of all the devatas, he is Deva Raja. May the glorious Indra, Swasti Naha Dadatu, Dadatu, comes at the end of the Shantipata. That verb Dadatu should be connected to all the prayers. We have to supply to each one. So Swasti Dadatu, may Lord Indra bless us with an auspicious journey. And here we should be very careful. Naha, there is a, so one should take it superficially. It says na dadatu. It should not be na dadatu. That means don't give. May Indra bless me. So naha, bless us. So that is what one has to be very careful when you look at these mantras. So the word here is naha. Naha means for us. So again, by describing Indra as glorious, actually in language, there is a method. By adding an adjective, an idea is indirectly conveyed. This is called in Sanskrit Sambodhana Dhvani. So, Oh Lord, Anadanatha, when you call the Lord as Anadanatha, what does it mean? May you bless me, addressing the Lord as, this is very common. That means what? Dina Bandhu. Again, it's a common. When you say Dina Bandhu, indirectly you are saying, I am Dinaha, I am miserable, I am weak, and you are well-wisher of the miserable. So please help me. So these are called Sambodhana, Sambodhana Dvani. And Swasti Naha Pusha Vishwavedaha. Pusha here means the Surya Devata, who is regularly worshipped in our culture. In Sandhyavandanam, in Gayatri Mantra and all, he is worshipped. So these are all Vedic deities actually. Pusha, Surya Devata. He is called Pusha because he nourishes the entire creation through his sunlight. He nourishes all the plant kingdom. He also gives energy to us directly. So Pushnati Iti Pushaha, the one who is nourishing everything. So this Surya Bhagavan is Vishwavedaha, the omniscient one. Because in Veda Shastra, Surya Bhagavan represents the Ishwaraha Narayana. Therefore, he is omniscient, Vishwavedaha. Bless me, O Lord. Here also, what is the Sambodhana Dvani here? Since you are omniscient, you must bless me by giving spiritual knowledge. Surya Devata is the greatest teacher. He taught to whom? Anuman. And Swastinastakshaha Arishtanemihi. Arishtanemi refers to Garuda, Garuda Devata, who is the vehicle of Lord Vishnu. And the reference will be clear. What type of Garuda he is? A beautiful adjective is given. Arishtanemihi, whose journey is without any obstacles. He is fast. His journey is without any obstacles. So free journey, movement. O Garuda of free movement, you should bless me also in my particular, this particular, my journey. That means what? Here also Sambodhana, my spiritual journey must be as smooth as your movement. In short, let there be no obstacles to my progress. And Swastino Brihaspatihi Dadato is the final prayer. It's a great deity, Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the Deva Guru, considered to be the Lord of Wisdom. As Saraswati is the female deity of wisdom, Brihaspati is supposed to be the male deity of wisdom. May that Brihaspati, Deva Guru, make me intelligent enough to absorb this teaching. Because spiritual teaching is very subtle. It is not like hearing a story of Ramayana or Mahabharata. Vedanta is not a katha. It is going to be solid, intellectually challenging. It's a teaching like that, which requires very subtle intellect. And therefore, may I have a sharp intellect to understand the sharpest teaching. Vedanta. As we often say, Vedanta is mind-boggling. Because what we think and what it teaches are diagonally opposite. Our common idea of the world is what? Is world is so big and I am so small. I am like a small dust in the world. World is very vast. I am a small speck in the world. That is our vision. But Vedanta, what it tells? I am infinite and world is a small speck. I am not in the world, but the world is in me. This is the ultimate message of Vedanta. A beginner can never imagine this. So we have to listen to it systematically, and at the end of the Upanishadic course, I should be able to boldly tell from my own heart that this is not a katha, but this is the truth. In our language, this is the truth, this is the whole truth, and this is nothing but truth. So this requires very, very subtle intellect. May Brihaspati bless me with intelligence. O Shantihi, Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Let there be no obstacles in this pursuit. As we said earlier, obstacles are classified into three types. That is why Shanti Mantra is repeated three times based on the source. One is the obstacle coming from myself in the form of physical disturbances, distraction, preoccupation, maybe I am not well, all those. Family preoccupation for a grahastha, that can be very, very big obstacle. That is called inward obstacle and that is called Adhyatmika Pradibandha. And the prayer is what? At least during this one and a half hours of my class, let this family be outside. It's very, very difficult, but this is required. Om Shantihi. So, Adhyatmika Pratibandha Nivrittihi. That is first Shanti. And the second obstacle is what? Obstacle coming from other living beings who are around me, the neighboring student. For example, you know, now everybody is listening from their home or whatever place it is, but when you are in a class setting, the neighbor student, next student, he may have perhaps the Upanishad, the lecture might put him to sleep. He may have a sound sleep also, producing sound, snoring. So that sleep is going to disturb me. So let there not be any disturbance at all. Therefore, disturbance can come from the neighborhood. It need not be human being. Even a mosquito is enough. You know, a fly is enough to distract me. Therefore, obstacles coming from other living beings, let them not bind me, let them not disturb me. So this is called Adi Baudhika Pratibandha. Here, Bhuta means prani, other living beings. That's why it's called Adi Baudhika. And the third one is Adi Daivika. The word Deva here means the natural forces. All natural forces are presided over by various devatas. Therefore, in Hinduism, the nature is called Devaha, Surya Deva. So, and Vayu Deva, Varuna Deva. Too much of heat, Surya Deva, I have to pray. And too much of rain, Varuna Deva. So, natural obstacles are called Adi Daivika Pratibandha. So, three types of obstacles removed by three types for Shanti. That is Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika, and Adi Daivika Pratibandha Nivrittihi. At least temporarily for this 1.5 hours. So this is the prayer of the student through this wonderful Shanti Pata. This also can be taken for generally and also specifically also. When it is a general prayer, let there be no obstacle for my project. Whatever may be the project a person takes to. It may be starting a business or it can be starting anything. Let there be no obstacle. But in the spiritual context also, let there be no obstacle for my spiritual journey. With this, the Shanti Pata is over. While chanting the Shanti Mantra also, we have to be a little, it's a little aside point. We have to be careful. In the Shanti Mantra, the word Swasti, that comes 4 times. So the first time, third time and the fourth time, the Na, Swasti Na Indro Vriddhashravaha, that Na, that must be down. And the second time it should be up. So Swasti Nasta. So Shanti Pata has got swaras. So because this is this Veda Mantra, this has got swaras. Therefore, if you can follow, that will be nice. That is how it should be appropriately chanted. Actually, the Mundaka Upanishad also had swara earlier. But the swara sampradaya, that has gone out now. So we are now reading it just as shloka. Otherwise, it had swaras also. Like that Taittiriya Upanishad, it has swaras also. It had. But that sampradaya has gone now. Now let us enter the actual text of the Upanishad. I am using this book by Swami Gambhirananda. This is the, you know, with the commentary also. So you can follow any book, doesn't matter. And whatever book you have, the order is nearly same. Om Brahmane Namaha Prathama Mundake Prathama Khandaha. That is how this is called. Chapter 1, Section 1, Shloka 1. ओम ब्रह्मा देवानां प्रथमः संबभूव विश्वस्य कर्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता स ब्रह्म विद्यायां सर्व विद्या प्रतिष्ठां अथर्वाय ज्येष्ठपुत्राय प्राह. As we said earlier, Mundaka Upanishad has got 65 mantras spread over 3 chapters, and each chapter is called a Mundaka and divided into 2 sections or khanda. So prathama munde prathama khandaha, dvitiya munde prathama khandaha. That is how it is all named. Now we are entering actually the first section of the first chapter of the Upanishad, and the Upanishad begins with an introduction in the first 3 mantras. In the introductory portion, the Upanishad conveys some very important points. It is in the form of, you know, first coming together of a guru and sishya. So this is called guru sishya sangama, because the whole teaching is in the form of guru sishya samvada, discussion between the guru and sishya. So the guru sishya sangama also conveys the idea that self enquiry must be done only with the help of a spiritual guide. Without a spiritual guide, spirituality or self enquiry may not work. It may become even counterproductive, even dangerously counterproductive sometimes. Therefore, the scriptures warn that a spiritual guide is a must. That is the first message. And the second message given also in the introduction is the qualification of a disciple. the characteristic of a disciple called the Shishya, Shishya Lakshanam, which is either directly mentioned or indirectly implied. And the third message is Guru Lakshanam. What are the qualifications of a Guru and his characteristics? So Shishya Lakshanam, Guru Lakshanam, therefore Guru Shishya Sangama, Shishya Lakshanam, Guru Lakshanam, and above all, Vidya Gauravam, the glory of the teaching that is going to take place, all are given. The glory of the teaching is indicated by first showing that it is not an invention of a human intellect. The teaching has been coming down in the form of a parampara, sampradaya pravaha, guru shishya vamsa pravaha. It has been coming. And the origin of this pravaha is what? Narayanam, Padmabhuvam, Vasishtam, Shaktincha, Tatputra, Parasharancha. So all that thing up to Asmat Gurun Santatam Anatosmi. So starting from Narayana up to my own immediate guru, that is how the parampara, the sampradaya has been coming. So Narayana gave it to Brahma, Brahmaji, who came from his navel. And Brahma gave to his disciple. And in that parampara, this teaching has come. Therefore, the words of the Upanishad are not the words of a human intellect coming from Lord. Therefore, the Upanishad book is not like any other book authored by a human being. But you treat the book with a different attitude. And what is the attitude? Just as we treat sense organs, they are given by the Lord. The Upanishad also is like a sixth sense organ given by the Lord. Treat the Upanishad like the sixth sense organ. Each sense organ is valid by itself. Each sense organ cannot be verified by another sense organ. I cannot verify my eyesight through my ears. Both the points are important. All our inquiry and analysis is not to verify the teaching, but to understand the message. What is the unique field of the Veda? It is I, the inquirer, the subject himself. All the sense organs and all the branches deal with the objective universe. They don't have access to the subject. Telescope, microscope, they have got scope only with respect to the object of inquiry. The observer cannot be observed through a telescope or microscope. It comes under only the scope of Veda, the Veda scope. So Veda is a distinct pramanam, uniquely dealing with myself. So I use my intelligence to understand this message. This attitude is called Shraddha and Bhakti. This we will understand only when we know Veda is like sense organ, a sixth sense organ. Yo Brahmanam Vidadadi Purvam Yo Vai Vedamsa Prahinodi Tasmai. That is the message coming from the mantras. So Vidya Gauravam, Shabda Pramana Gauravam, the glory. And what is the teaching? Brahma Devanam Prathama Sambhabhuva. Before the creation, Lord Narayana alone was there. From Narayana's navel, it's all symbolic, came Brahmaji. In Vedantic language, in Tattvabodha language, Brahma is called Hiranyagarbha. This name is also familiar to us, Hiranyagarbha. So, from Narayana, Brahmaji or Hiranyagarbha appeared first. Devanam Prathamaha. Even before all the other gods and beings, Brahmaji appeared. In terms of his knowledge and the skill, he is the foremost also. And how did Brahma gain the knowledge and skill? Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayana, after creating Brahmaji, he transferred his knowledge and skill electronically to him. He did an e-transfer. So, yo Brahmanam vidadadi purvam yo vai vedamcha prahinodi tasmai. He e-transferred all the knowledge. Then Brahma becomes Narayana putraha or Narayana shishyaha. Prathamaja, prathama shishyaha. That is the first shishya. And what does Narayana do afterwards? He says, now that I have transferred all the skill and knowledge to you, it is your job to create the rest of the universe. So Narayana's job was only a few milliseconds or whatever, and Brahmaji's job is for how many years? I have already told you about the age of Brahma, so long. Therefore, Vishvasya Kartha, Brahma became the creator of the entire universe. And not only he is the creator, Bhuvanasya Gopta also. he is the sustainer of the universe also. So Brahmaji is omniscient and omnipotent, symbolically represented by the four heads. The four heads represent the four Vedas. That is why the word Brahma has got another synonym, Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyam means omniscient, shining like gold, and Garbha means within himself. So Hiranyam Sarvajnyatvam Garbha Yasya Vidya. So Hiranyagarbha. So, and that omniscient or omnipotent creator of the universe was Brahma. Then Sa Brahma Vidyayam Sarva Vidya Pratishtam Praha. So Brahma taught to Atharva. Atharva Brahma Vidya. Atharva is his first student. So he taught to Atharva Brahma Vidya. The word Brahma Vidya again has got two meanings. First is, since it is given out by Brahmaji, it is called the teaching of Brahma. Therefore, it is Brahma Vidya. And there is a second meaning also. The word Brahma is, you know, is Narayana Putraha. But when we talk about a goal for anything without any limitation, which does not have three types of these doshas, there are three types of doshas when we, you know, try to reach any goal. One is Dukkha Mishri Tattvam. This also I have mentioned all these earlier in various lectures. Dukkha Mishri Tattvam means mixed with Dukkha. I don't want a goal to be achieved which is mixed with Dukkha. And second one is what? Atripti Karatvam. I want to gain full satisfaction when I reach the goal. It should not be without satisfaction. And the third one is Bandhakaratvam. Bandhakatvam, it should not be binding. So all these three doshas can be there. So without these doshas, the whole Brahma. So then we use the word Brahman also, which is the absolute goal. So this Brahma, this is the four-headed Brahma, this is one goal. And Brahman, the absolute goal, that is none other than Atma. So now we have got two words, Brahma with short A and another Brahma with long A. Brahma with a short A, that sometimes is said Brahman or Atman to avoid confusion. Therefore, the second meaning of Brahma Vidya is Atma Vidya. So first meaning is the Vidya taught by Brahmaji. Second meaning is it is Atma Vidya, the knowledge of the self. And that is spiritual knowledge. Brahma taught that Brahma Vidya, which is none other than Atma Vidya, the spirit. So the observer. So what is the glory of the spiritual knowledge now? Sarva Vidyam Pratishtam, which is the basis for all other branches of knowledge or science. Shankaracharya, he gives two meanings also. Both meanings are important. The first meaning is, first meaning of Vedanta means bliss. Spiritual knowledge is the bliss for all the material branches of knowledge. Like for example, mathematics, physics, chemistry, economics. Why do we say so? Because according to the Veda, material branches of knowledge can never give me fulfillment to the human being. On the other hand, the more you learn, more you feel smaller and smaller. More, we will see in the Muntaka Upanishad itself, we will be using the word aparavidya. We are actually people who have listened to the Gita lectures, 7th chapter, they would know para prakriti, aparavidya and all that. But that's going to be introduced here. So we are going to read more. So I am only giving a hint here. So even though material branches of knowledge can never give fulfillment, they are never useless. They are very useful. And the next question is what? If they cannot give fulfillment, how can they be useful? That could be a natural question. Veda says, they all must bring a person to spiritual knowledge, the scriptural knowledge. They are sadhanas. And spiritual knowledge is at the end. As Swamiji says, physics must take a person to metaphysics. That travel must take place. Material branches will be useful to come to spirituality and to understand it also. It is useful. Therefore, all of them are meant for what? All our BA, MA, BSc, MSc, all those PhD degrees, they are all worthwhile to come to Upanishads. That means it has served the purpose only when it has brought to the end. The proof of the budding, budding is what? It's in eating. And they say, so the proof of material science is bringing to Upanishad study. What? How? Of course, at least in my personal life, that is true. Therefore, Vedanta means that is the basis for, they are created for this purpose only. And the second meaning of Vedanta is culmination you know, of all the material branches of science, they all should culminate in coming to Vedanta. Because there alone human beings, they feel fulfillment. That is why you will find whatever branches you have specialized. As you study the Upanishad, everyone can observe one thing. Economic student will find that the knowledge of economics is useful in understanding Vedanta. I'm not stretching too far. Some laws in economics may be useful. For example, in economics there is a law of diminishing returns. He will understand with regard to everything, including marriage these days. So anything in the world is subject to the law of diminishing returns. Economics will be useful in understanding Vedanta. Physics, medicine, mathematics, any branch of knowledge one has specialized in, one will find they can understand more beautifully with that branch. So it becomes Sarva Vidya Pratishta. It is the basis and the culmination. Okay, so Sarva Vidya Pratishta Praha. And what did that Brahma do? He wanted to create the universe. Having created the universe, he wanted to perpetuate the Vedic wisdom also. All other things, human beings, they all have resources to invent. Whether it is genetic or physics or chemistry, Brahma need not electronically transfer, because human intellect can invent all the other things. Self-knowledge, human intellect cannot acquire, because the intellect is turned outwards. To gain self-knowledge, intellect should be turned inwards. Therefore, other branches of science, human beings can invent through all their research and development. Self-knowledge does not come under human R&D. Therefore, Lord wanted to transfer that wisdom directly to humanity. Therefore, Brahmaji had his son come disciple. He is called son come disciple in the form of Atharva. Atharva, you know, Hiranyagarbha's putraha, and Sishya also. And how does Brahma create this Atharva, his son or his disciple? They are called Manasa Putras. Sankalpa Matrena, by mere Sankalpa he created them. Brahmaji can create. Narada is Brahmaji's Manasa Putra. There are many Rishis, Brahma's Manasa Putras. So having created Atharva, that's the first child whom Brahmaji created through his Sankalpa, what did Brahmaji do? He gave him Vedanta tuition. And thank God, Atharva was an obedient putra. Nowadays it does not happen that easily. But there Atharva, now the third generation has come. How is the third generation? Narayana is number one. Then from Narayana, Brahmaji, that's the Narayana not mentioned here. Narayana to Brahma and Brahma to Atharva. So Atharvaya Jyeshta Putraya Praha. Brahmaji gave this teaching to Atharva, his Jyeshta Putra, his eldest son. Mundaka Upanishad, which is like our sense organ. So Shashta Shabda Pramanam, the sixth sense organ. That's what he taught Atharva. Then what did Atharva do? So let us read the next shloka. Atharvane yam pravadeta brahma atharvatam purovachangire brahma vidyam sa bharadvajaya satyavahaya praham bharadvajongirase paravaram. Now what did Atharva do? Atharva, the second line if you look at it, Atharva pura brahma vidya purovacha. Atharva, who is the third generation, Narayana Brahma Atharva, the third generation, he taught to the fourth generation. And who is he? Angire. Angire means Angi or Angir is the name of the fourth generation. So he may be his disciple or he may be his putra also, we don't know that. So Angire Pura Uvacha. All this happened when? Not in the last year or last month, last century. Pura, in the beginning of Srishti itself, creation. Pura Uvacha. How did Atharva teach? By using the same methodology as used by the Guru. And there is a special method of extracting the message from Vedas that we have mentioned earlier, but I will say again. That method of inquiry, that is the key to open the Vedic literature, is called Mimamsa. It is a technical word. It cannot be used for any other inquiry. For example, if you are inquiring into the American Constitution, you cannot call it as Constitution Mimamsa. In that place, you can use it as Constitution Vichara. Vichara is fine, but Mimamsa is specifically used only in this context. So when we are doing inquiry into Veda, by applying proper methods, remembering the Veda, it is like the sixth sense organ with Shraddha and Bhakti. Attitude is very important. When you inquire into Veda, that special inquiry with the special attitude, that is called Mimamsa. And what is the definition of Mimamsa? Pujita Veda Vicharaha Mimamsa. Pujita means reverential. When they start the Vedic study itself in the Gurukulam, all they have is very, very big puja in the temple or in the Gurukulam itself. And the Vedic books are kept in front of the Lord. Then one of the disciples, he will carry the book and on his head and go around the temple or the Gurukulam. And then they keep it in the lecture hall. And before teaching mantras, Pada Puja to the Guru is done. Puja to the Lord is done. Then the puja to the book itself is done. They are all done essentially to develop the attitude, right attitude, the reverence. And when the vichara is done in the Purva Bhaga of Veda, regarding the Vedic rituals, I have told you earlier, the Purva Bhaga is the Karmakanda portion, deals with Vedic rituals. That is called Purva Mimamsa. And when you are studying the Veda Anta, it is called Uttara Mimamsa, later portion. So former Mimamsa, former portion, and Uttara Mimamsa, later portion. Every guru must use that key to teach the disciple. That is the only proven method. So the Upanishad says, Atharvane ya Brahma pravadetha. Whatever methodology of teaching used by Brahmaji for Atharva, the same methodology Atharva also used for his disciple Angiraha. Otherwise, one can end up with all types of wrong translations. There are books available in so many Western analysis of all the Upanishads. Non-traditional people, they also with the dictionary of Sanskrit and their own history, social, anthropology kind of knowledge, they have also studied Veda mantras. So those books are available also. And many of us Hindus, we don't know Sanskrit also. So we study the Vedic analysis done by all these people who refuse to use Mimamsa method. And therefore, our respect for our own scriptures, it is not as reverential. Many of our children settled particularly in these countries, in US and other places, they are trying to understand our own Vedic portion, Puranic portion, Vedantic portion, analyzed by all these people. Therefore, if you want to understand whether it is Purana or Itihasa or Upanishad, we require Mimamsa. That is why we say a guru is required. So, Brahma Vidyaya. So, fourth generation is over. And what did he do? Saha means that Angiraha, the fourth generation guru. So, Bharadvajaya Satyavahaya Praha. The fifth generation here, his name is here what? Bharadvaja. So, Angiraha, fourth generation, he taught the fifth generation Bharadvaja. Or another name is Satyavaha. That is another name for him. Bharadvaja means Bharadvaja Gotra. That refers to that. And Satyavaha, one who is the carrier of knowledge, of truth, Satyam. Therefore, he is called Satyavaha. So, he taught to him, so the fifth generation. And now the next one is what? Bharadvajo Angirase Paravaram. Bharadvaja, he taught to Angiras. Previous one is Angiraha. Next one is Angiras. They are different people. So, that is the next Sishya. So, to him, he taught Brahma Vidya. Paravaram. That is another title or glory given to Brahma Vidya. Previously we had one title, that is what? That is Sarva Vidya Pratishtham. That is the name given earlier, and this is a very beautiful glorification. Now we get another glorifications, Paravaram. So one meaning is what? That which flows down from the guru to the disciple. The senior, who is the guru? He gives the wisdom to the junior. Who is the disciple? Para means senior, and senior guru, and apara means the junior, avara, para, so the disciple. So it has been flowing down from guru to sishya, like what? Like the river flowing from higher level to lower level. Yata papravata agyanti, yata amasa agar jaram taitriya. So as from the higher level to the lower level, the water flows, that is how the knowledge also flows from the guru to the sishya. That is why the guru is seated in a higher pedestal symbolically. The idea is that what? It has to be natural flow. Nowadays, actually, if you take colleges and all these lecture halls, there is a gallery. Now, the guru has to pump the wisdom, as Swamiji says, against the gravity to the student. natural flow is gone. And that attitude also, Shishya has to look down upon the Guru. Normally he should look up at the Guru, but look up to the Guru, but now he is looking down on the Guru. So that is another thing. Therefore, para and apara, the natural flow. Then there is another meaning also. Para standing for the higher one and apara standing for the lower one. The significance of this is what? That we are going to see later. Para vidya and apara vidya we will see later. The higher one is the conscious principle, which is the absolute reality. And that we are going to see it, say later. So it's absolute reality. In Bhagavad Gita, actually in the 7th chapter, Lord Krishna talked about, if you remember, para prakriti and apara prakriti. Para prakriti related to the higher truth, and apara prakriti, that is the spirit consciousness, and apara prakriti, the entire material principle, material universe, matter. So they are all related to the apara prakriti. So they are not absolute reality, because matter does not have an existence of its own, independent of the absolute truth, namely Brahman. These are all concepts very familiar to us. Therefore, para means satyam, apara means mithya. Vedanta is teaching about what is satyam and what is mithya. Satyam will be stable, mithya will be changing. So how should we lead our life? Hold on to the stable thing and enjoy the changing things. For example, when you want to, Swamiji gives this example, when you go to Haridwar and you want to take a bath. So Haridwar Ganga, you know, the flow is very fast. It will be cool waters and we feel like jumping in and, you know, nicely taking a bath. But if you get into the water, what will be the problem? The current is so fast that you will be swept away before you know. You will reach Ganga Sagaram. It is not stable. And the sand also flows with it. You know, it's so fast. It even sweeps the sand with it. Even the rocks, if you hold to a rock also, rocks also may move. So everything will be moving because the current is so much. So for that, they have kept a chain fixed to the bank of the river. So what is the intelligence? Before entering, hold on to the stable chain. Then you can have dip and you enjoy the dip also. You have got anchor in the form of the stable chain. In life also, the entire material universe is like this river. World has got beauty, it has got variety, it has got novelty. It is continuously changing, but the world does not have stability. You cannot hold on to anything in the world. Even the longest relationship, which gives moral support and emotional support, even relationships are not stable nowadays. Therefore, if you lean on the world, you will be swept off the ground. As Swamiji says, the carpet will be pulled from underneath by whom? By Yamadharma Raja, who has got, he says jokingly, WWW, World Wide Web, Yamadharma Raja has. He has got a net worldwide. So if you want to enjoy life, first hold on to the stable chain that is called the Satyam, the Paravastu. Vedanta talks about para and apara, both are useful. Chain alone is no use, no enjoyment just with the chain. River alone is also no enjoyment, you cannot use it. We require the chain and river. Hold on to the spirit, spiritual wisdom, and enjoy changing life. As Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Matras Parshastu Kaunteyam, Sitoshna Sukadukadaham, Agama Payino Nityas, Tamti Dikshasvam, Bharata. Learn to welcome things. And then what did Angiras do? Shloka 3. Shauna koha vaimaha shalaha angirasam vidivat upasanna papracham kasmin bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati iti. So in this shloka, the Upanishad introduces the 7th member of the parampara, namely Shaunaka Rishi, who is going to be the disciple in the Mundaka Upanishad. So he is going to be the hero, one of the heroes. So because the entire Upanishad is presented as what? As a samvada between Shaunaka and Angiras. So while introducing Shaunaka, the disciple, the Upanishad refers to his qualifications also, so that we can also try to acquire them. They are all beautiful qualifications, if you do not have them already. And who is this disciple Shaunaka? And what type of disciple he is? He is Mahashalaha. That means what? ही इज अ ग्रहस्थ हू हैड ए बिग पाकशाला. पाकशाला मीन्स ए ह्यूज किचन अंड अ बिग यागशाला आल्सो. सो वाट इज दिस यागशाला? द पूजा रिचुअल मंडप, द यागशाला. फ्रॉम दैट वाट डू वी इन्फर? वी इन्फर सेवरल थिंग्स. नंबर वन, वन हैज टू गो थ्रू ग्रहस्थाश्रम टू कम टू वेदांत. सो नॉर्मली पीपल थिंक यू बिकम सन्यासी टू गो टू वेदांत. वन हैज टू गो थ्रू ग्रहस्थाश्रम टू गो टू वेदांत. अवर ट्रेडिशन कंसिडर्स ग्रहस्थाश्रम ऐस एक्सट्रीमली इंपॉर्टेंट फॉर द रिफाइनमेंट ऑफ द माइंड, एस्पेशली फॉर डेवलपिंग वाट वैराग्यम, विवेकम, ऑल दैट. सो स्किपिंग ग्रहस्थाश्रम ईज जनरली नॉट रिकमेंडेड, बट एक्सेप्शनल केसेस इफ द गुरु पर्मिट्स वन कैन स्किप ग्रहस्थाश्रम. अदरवाइज एवरी वन मस्ट गो थ्रू ब्रह्मचर्य आश्रम, ग्रहस्थाश्रम, वानप्रस्थाश्रम एंड संन्यासाश्रम. अंड ईच स्टेज इज ऑल्सो कॉल्ड एन आश्रम, इंडिकेटिंग दैट देर इज स्पिरिचुअल ग्रोथ इन ईच स्टेज. बट ग्रहस्थाश्रम कैन कॉन्ट्रीब्यूट टू स्पिरिचुअल ग्रोथ ओनली अंडर सर्टन कंडीशंस. जस्ट बै गेटिंग मैरिड वी विल नॉट गेट स्पिरिचुअल ग्रोथ. अंड वाट इज द प्राइमरी कंडीशन? ग्रहस्थाश्रम मस्ट बी यूज फॉर कॉन्ट्रीब्यूटिंग टू द सोसाइटी ईवन व्हाइल वी फुलफिल अवर पर्सनल डिजायर्स. वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टू यूज स्वामी दयानंद स्वामी एक्सप्रेशन, डू नॉट बी ए मियर कंस्यूमर, बी ए कॉन्ट्रीब्यूटर ऑल्सो. दिस कॉन्ट्रीब्यूशन इज इंडिकेटेड बाई द वर्ड महाशाला. वन इज पाकशाला, बिग पाकशाला इंडिकेट्स यू नो लॉट ऑफ फूड, अन्नम बहुकुर्वीत, फूड मेक लॉट ऑफ फूड, डू अन्नदानम, डू जलदानम, ऑल दोज थिंग्स शुड बी डन. सो अन्नदानम इज वन टाइप ऑफ ग्रेट कॉन्ट्रीब्यूशन टू सोसाइटी. दिस इंडिकेट्स दि पंच महायज्ञ वैश्वदेवम, देर आर सपोज टू बी डन एवरी डे. नॉट ओनली ई शुड कॉन्ट्रीब्यूट मेटीरियली बै महाशाला आर यागशाला, ऐ शुड ऑल्सो कॉन्ट्रीब्यूट टू द वर्ल्ड थ्रू मई रेगुलर प्रेयर्स. Material contribution can reach only a small segment of people. Annadanam you want to do, how many can you feed? There is limitation to material contributions. But I can reach a wider section or area of people through Yagashala. Yagashala represents our daily pujas. Our daily puja is also a type of contribution. When the daily puja will become a contribution only if I chant the appropriate mantras. For example, what is an appropriate mantra? For example, swasti prajabhyah paripalayantam nyayena margena mahimahishaha go brahmanebhyah shubhamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Here the fourth quarter, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, is most important. Instead of saying my children and grandchildren should be sukhinaha bhavantu, replace that expression to loka samasta. And another swasti vachana also shloka, there is a beautiful prayer. Kale varshatu parjanyaha prithivisasya shalini teshoyam krobarahitaha sajjana ar brahmana santu nirbhayaha. So the daily puja must be my mental contribution for the well-being of the entire universe. This prayer contribution and material contribution, both of them. That is why deha yaha naha prachodiyad. Let this Surya Devata in Gayatri Mantra, for us, so the sandhyavandana done by a person, it is beneficial for the entire world. It's called pancha mahayajna. That will alone convert grahastha ashrama into a spiritual practice. Here the Upanishad says, Shaunaka had practiced this for a long time. And so he had all the necessary qualifications. Shaunaka has all the necessary qualifications. Primary thing being what? Interest in Vedanta. One has to have genuine interest in Vedanta, sincere to Vedanta. Opportunity for such a study is the second one. One has to have it. I can have interest, but I may not have the opportunity. Whereas Shaunaka has got both. What is the opportunity? The Guru, Angiras, is available. Therefore, what happened? Again, they're like a story. Once upon a time, Shaunaka, indicates that the Upanishad is remembering. As though, you know, Mahashalaha, the great Grahastha, Angirasam, Upasanna, he approached the Guru. So those days, even a king has to go to the thatched, inconvenient hut of a Guru. That tapas is required. He has to leave all his you know, the kinghood, all that, you know, pop and, you know, all these various paraphernalia, he should leave them all aside and go to the Guru with lot of, you know, humility. So that tapas is required. Therefore, Upasanna, he approached the Guru. How? With humility, with Shraddha, with Bhakti, with the knowledge that Veda is a unique pramanam. Upasanna, he approached, offering Sashtanga Namaskaram to him. Vidivat Upasanna, he approached with Shraddha and Bhakti. Later it will be pointed out that Samit Pani, we are going to see that later. So take some offerings also, like fruit or flower. So Rittakasthena Nopayat, Rajanam Daivatam Gurum. When you go to see a Raja or your Guru or your, you know, any temple or to see a God, you cannot go with empty hand. So Samit Pani, take some offerings also with you. That is again to look down, look upon the Guru as Sakshat Bhagavan himself. And Paprachya, he asked for this knowledge. What is the knowledge? Brahma Vidya. So he asked for this knowledge to his Guru. Because no Vedantic teacher will give this knowledge unless it is asked for. Otherwise the value will not be appreciated. This Shishya understands very well. Therefore he says, I want to learn. Please give me Brahma Vidya. How does he present his question? Very beautifully done. This question itself is presented in a very, very profound manner and an extraordinary manner. From this third mantra begins actually within the quotation. The Guru Shishya Samvada, the discussion between the Guru and Shishya, that is now under quotes we should now learn from here. So the Shishya says, O Bhagavo, actually here every word is important. O Lord, he addresses the Guru as O Lord, indicates his attitude towards the Guru. He says, what a beautiful question. Kasmin vijnate, what is that absolute truth, knowing which sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati? A person knows everything in creation. What a question. What is that absolute truth, knowing which a person knows everything in creation? We have to analyze this particular sentence a little bit. Kasmin means what? What is that absolute truth or Brahman or Aksharam? This Aksharam Brahma, we have seen these words earlier. By knowing which one can a person know everything in creation. Kasmin vijnate sati idam sarvam vijnatam bhavati. Idam sarvam, what is the truth behind this creation? Idam sarvam refers to this creation. But here the student presents the question in a particular manner which requires lot of analysis. We have to go through that now. And we can derive several important corollaries also by this question. So we will analyze the question itself a little bit. So what is the question? What is that one thing knowing which everything can be known? What a wishful thinking. In Sanskrit, it will mean what? Eka vijnanena. By knowing that one thing, sarvam vijnatam bhavati. One can know everything. Now, we have to ask the question, is this question itself is appropriate? We have to find that out. If it is appropriate, how it is appropriate? Normally, what is our experience? By knowing one thing, we cannot even know a second thing. For example, if I study English, I will know English language perhaps, but I will not know Sanskrit. Therefore, eka vijnanena, what is possible? Eka vijnanam alone is possible. I can know only one thing. So, is such a thing logical? Is it possible at all? Is the question appropriate? If it is possible, it will be wonderful. Because in school or college, I will need to study only one subject. Then what will happen? If I study physics, I will get chemistry, mathematics, economics, all knowledge, astronomy, everything. But that does not happen. So, is it possible at all is a question. So, Shankaracharya, he writes in his commentary, he does a great analysis and he points out that it is possible under a certain condition. And what is that condition? When you know the cause of some product, by the knowledge of the cause, you will be able to understand all the products born out of that one cause. Right? That is what this is the analysis. You will be able to understand all the products. So when you know the cause of some product, by the knowledge of the cause, you will be able to understand all the products born out of that one cause. because cause alone expresses itself in the form of different products. So Shankaracharya says, Eka Karana Vijnanena Sarva Karya Vijnanam Bhavati. This question is appropriate if only you understand this fundamental law. What is that law? Eka Karana Vijnanena Sarva Karya Vijnanam Bhavati. Karanam. Karanam means cause and karyam means product or effect. To understand the law generally, actually in Vedanta we take a few examples. And one popular example is, for example, a lump of gold. This example is taken actually in Chandogya Upanishad 6th chapter. There also the question is the same. There the guru takes the example of a clay and pot and gold and ornaments. And when you study gold and ornaments, gold is karanam, ornaments are karyam. What are the features of the karanam and the features of the karyam? There are four important features seen by analyzing gold and ornaments. What are they? Gold lump, a lump of gold is only one karanam, but out of that many ornaments can be created. Therefore, karanam ekam, only one, karyam anekam, can be many. So, ekam and anekam. And the second feature is, karanam alone is the substance, the essence, the content. Karyam, the ornaments, do not have any substantiality of their own. It is only a form. And in keeping with the form, we have given a name, bangle, ring, necklace. They are not substantial. They do not have a weight of their own. Weight belongs only to gold. Therefore, karanam is substantial, karyam is not. Karyam is weightless, contentless by itself. In Sanskrit, karanam is called saram and karyam is asaram. It is mere nama rupa, so ekam, anekam, and the second feature is saram and asaram. And the third feature is karanam is nityam. The gold remains gold all the time, whereas the ornaments are created in time by the goldsmith. And even when the ornament is melted, what remains? Gold alone remains. So gold was there before, gold is there at present, gold will be there in the future also. So karanam trikale api tishtati, in all the three domains of time karanam will be there, therefore it is nityam. However, karyam, the nama rupa, is always anityam, subject to arrival and subject to destruction. So either natural destruction, there is a natural end, or there is an artificial end, either it will die or it can be destroyed. Therefore, karanam is nityam, karyams are anityam. This is the third feature. And the fourth feature is, karanam alone has got independent existence of its own. Gold can exist even without the ornamental forms, but no ornament can exist independent of gold. In Vedanta, whatever is independently existent is called Satyam. Whatever depends on something for its existence is called Mithya. It does not have its own existence. It is like wearing, for example, borrowed ornaments. So what is the fourth difference now? Karanam is Satyam and Karyam is Asatyam. Therefore, what are the four features now? Eka, Sara, Nitya, Satyam is Karanam, whereas Aneka, Asara, Anitya, Asatyam is Karyam. Clear? Therefore, Karanam alone really is. Karyam is only mere appearance, the isness, the existence principle that we have told many times. That belongs to only the cause, Karanam. Karyams are only appearances, are expressions, are manifestations of that one Karanam alone. And now if you come to the question, how can the Shishya ask for the knowledge of everything by studying one? Once you know the Karanam, you have essentially understood everything. Because everything is nothing but what? That Karanam alone, with different names and forms or Veshas. They alone are Karyams. So, Karana Vijnanena Sarva Karya Vijnanam Bhavati. Because there is no Karyam other than Karanam. There is no effect other than the cause. Shaunaka has understood this foundation, this fundamental principle extremely well. Now, he wants to apply this to the at the total level. Gold is karanam, all right. But it is karanam for what? Only for ornaments. It is not karanam for some earthenware pots and all. For that clay is karanam. So gold is karanam for ornaments, that is true. But gold cannot be karanam for an earthenware pot. Clay is the karanam. Clay is not the karanam for ornaments. Now suppose we extend this principle and raise the fundamental question. The entire creation has originated at some point in time. Because all the scientists, they are talking about the creation. Modern cosmology also is talking about what? A big bang which happened maybe 30 billion years ago. And before that, there was only singularity. Even time and space were not there. From that singular point, the entire creation, the cosmos evolved. That means what? The whole universe is a karyam. It is a product. Because it has evolved from something at some point. As all the cosmologists are trying to understand what is that behind that creation. That is the toughest problem. They are not able to reach that particular point. So the unfortunate present state of affairs is what? They say it is a point of no information. That means what? We do not know. Instead of saying we do not know, it is like, you know, they call many of these countries as developing countries. Developing country means what? Is it underdeveloped or undeveloped? It is one of them, right? It is developing. It is ever developing. Instead of saying we do not know, they say it is a point of no information. Anyway, that's a different thing. So what we want to stress here is what? The whole universe is a karyam, is an effect. And there must be a karanam behind it. Because from nothing, what can be created? Only nothing can be created. Since matter can never be created or destroyed, there must be something before origination. And we will call that sarva karanam. The entire universe we will name as sarvam. Everything is the creation. Which includes what? Even time and space. Which includes akasha, vayu, agni, jalam, prithivi. And all the 14 lokas, all our bodies, minds, thoughts, emotions. It includes all of them. So this entire cosmos or universe must have a karanam. And what will be the nature of that sarva karanam? These four that we just saw. Eka, sara, nitya, satyam. That should be the features. That karanam must be ekam. It must be the truth behind the whole universe. The saram. Or it must be the content of the whole universe. And it must be nityam. Meaning it should have been there before the Big Bang also. It is there now also. And even if the entire creation dissolves, that will continue. Meaning it must be nityam. And what is the fourth and important one? That must be satyam. That must be satyam karanam. Sarva karanam. That karanam alone is called Brahman. And in every Upanishad, they use different names for that Brahman. In Mundaka Upanishad, it is called Aksharam, Akshara Vidya. In Chandogya Upanishad, 7th chapter, it is called Bhuma Vidya. In Taittiriya Upanishad, it is called Brahman. In Aitiriya Upanishad that we saw, it is called Atma. So, Atma, Brahman, Bhuma, Aksharam, all are synonyms, referring to the Eka, Sara, Nitya, Satya, Karana, Vastu. Actually, Vastu is also another name. So, you know, the another word for Brahman is also Vastu. But in all religious scriptures, that Eka Sara Nitya Satya Karanam is called Bhagavan. That is called Bhagavan. So, what is the definition of Bhagavan now? Eka Sara Nitya Satya Karanam Brahman. So, if someone is asking, is there a Bhagavan? What our answer is? That should be Bhagavan alone is there. If they ask the question, there is no, you should not say, yes, Bhagavan. Bhagavan alone is there. There is one, as Swamiji says, there is only God. There is not one God, there is only God. And that is what we are going to discover through all the Upanishads. So, if Bhagavan is Eka Sara Satya Nitya Karanam, what should be the four features of the world then? That we should clearly understand. This is for Bhagavan. Then what should be the four features of the world? World is anekam. Anekam is good news. So we have got lot of varieties. But it is asaram. It is pythless. It's empty. It is hollow. Because there is no substance. There is no substantial existence to the world. Bhagavan is holy. World is hollow. So aneka and asara. And still, it is more disturbing news is what? It is anityam. The world is anityam. Never safe to rely on the world at all. It is unstable. So it is not emotionally dependable. Emotional dependence on an unstable world will lead to anxiety, fear, stress, tension. So anitya karya prapancha is the world. Now we are diagnosing the cause of samsara. Emotional disturbance cannot be avoided as long as you emotionally lean upon an anitya vastu, namely the world. And what is the fourth one? It is asatyam. Therefore, aneka, asara, anitya, asatyam is the prapancha, the world, the universe. And yeka, sara, nitya, satyam is Brahman or Bhagavan. And whatever scriptures say is, you can experience aneka, asara, anitya, asatya, karya prapancha, but do not emotionally depend on that karya prapancha. So beautiful. You can experience it, but you cannot depend on that. Gradually learn to shift your dependence from this karyam, this karya prapancha, to the karanam. Therefore, world dependence, one should shift to God dependence. That is safer. Because God is ekasara nitya satyam. That is the first stage of the spiritual journey. Shift your world dependence to God dependence. And what is the form of that God? To know the form of the God, you should ask the question, where is God? Where is God? God being karanam, karanam must be present behind all the karyams. Gold must be behind all ornaments, whether it is bangle, necklace, doesn't matter, chain. Therefore, if God is the Karana Ishwara, actually there is a temple called the Karaneshwara. That Swami is called Karaneshwara. Where must be that Karaneshwara? We should not say it is in Tanjore or Madurai or in some other temple here. Karanam must be behind the entire Karya Prapancha. It is not localized. Must be all-pervading. And whatever is all-pervading can't have a form. Therefore, Karana Ishwara does not have a form. But for convenience, we give a temporary form, like having a flag to represent a country, you know. We have got varieties of various Ishta Devatas. Every Ishta Devata represents the form of God you worship. They may vary, but all these different gods, they represent what? One Karaneshwara, one Karana Ishwara only. And one more point is, another important corollary also is that we can derive. If Bhagavan is everywhere, then the same Bhagavan must be behind me also. Because I am also someone born in this universe. I am an integral part of the universe, the creation. I am also a product with a date of birth, and thank God, with an unknown date of death. So if I am a karyam, the karanam must be there in me also. The same karanam, aksharam, brahma, bhagavan, bhuma, atma, that must be there in me also. Because karanam is satyam, so Bhagavan must not only be the essential nature of the entire cosmos, Bhagavan must be in me also as my essential nature. So my real nature, my essential nature is higher. If only I learn to shift my identification to my essential nature. Imagine the bangle, for example, it has got sentiency, let us think. Then the bangle can say, I am a bangle. But after gathering wisdom, the bangle can also claim what? I am gold. Both answers are fine. Similarly, Karanam Bhagavan or Brahman is my essential nature. Therefore, I can train through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, I can train myself to claim Aham Brahma Asmi. And that Aham is called Atma. Therefore, finally, from world dependence, we can go to God dependence. And from God dependence, we can ultimately come to what? Self-dependence. Thus, I understand the self or myself as what? Not as Karya Jiva, but as the Karanam Brahman. When I can do that, I can come to what? I can come to self-dependence. But until I am ready for self-dependence, safely what should I do? Have God dependence, no problem. But never do what? Never be world dependent. What is samsara? Samsara is world dependence. And what is moksha? Self-dependence. Moksha is self-dependence, samsara is world dependence. Our entire spiritual journey is world dependence to God dependence to self-dependence, where God and self both mean karanam, the ultimate cause. Therefore, Shaunaka asks the question, kasmin karana vijnate sarvam karyam vijnatam bhavati. It's a very, very profound and very significant fundamental question. Shloka 4. Tasmai saho vacha dve vidye veditavye iti hasma yad brahma vido vadanti parachaiva paracha. Now the guru is satisfied with the Sishya's approach and his question also. Therefore, accepting the disciple, he now proceeds with his teaching. So from the fourth mantra onwards, the teaching of Mundaka Upanishad begins. We said the first three mantras are introduction. So the guru presents the teaching very beautifully, very systematically, in a structured, progressive manner, because unless scriptures are studied systematically, we can never get the full benefit. Going to all these lectures, you know, just on a rainy day, it doesn't help. He says, Tasmai, to that student, to Shaunaka, Sa Uvacha, Sa refers to Guru, Guru Angiras. He replied, what did he say? Dve Vidye Veditavye. Every spiritual seeker must study the scriptures before starting any sadhana. And what are those two branches of science that he has to study? Dve vidye tu para chaiva paracha. So they are known as para vidya and apara vidya. They have to study. Then Angira says, this is not my philosophy. We will see all the definition. What is para vidya, apara vidya, everything we will talk. So Angira says, this is not his philosophy. This is the knowledge given to me by my guru, and which he gained from his guru. It has come from the parampara, this sampradaya. So he is a sampradaya vid. Therefore he says, brahma vido vadanti. Brahma vido means the acharya parampara. That Veda, that entire acharya parampara vadanti gives the knowledge. Therefore we remember, even the Upanishads are not the beginning of this tradition. Because Upanishad itself says that we have heard this from our guru. Therefore, the date of the book is not the date of the Upanishadic knowledge. Date of the book only means the date of writing. The date of writing is not the date of origination. Therefore, Brahma Vido Vadanti Parachaiva Paracha. Now, before going further, we will give you the essential picture of what is Paravidya and Aparavidya. That we have to understand clearly. Mundaka Upanishad is going to systematically develop that discussion, but now we will get a bird's eye view to start with. Paravidya is the Akshara Vidya, the knowledge of Karaneshwara. Already I described Karaneshwara. So Karanam Brahma Akshara Vidya is Paravidya. Brahma Vidya, Akshara Vidya, Karanam Brahma. It is considered the greatest, the superior most knowledge, because it gives what? Liberation, freedom, moksha. What is liberation? Fulfillment of the intellectual quest for the knowledge of the truth. That is moksha definition number one. And the second definition of moksha is what? Emotional stability, equanimity, intellectual fulfillment plus emotional stability put together is moksha. This is possible only through Akshara Vidya, Brahma Vidya. Why? Because Aksharam alone gives me the anchor. In Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter, we have already seen Samadukkasukha Swastaha Samaloshtasma Kanchanaha Tulya Priya Priyos Dhiraha Tulya Nindatma Samstutihi Mana Pamana Yos Tulyaha తుల్యమిత్రారి పక్షయోహో. సో వీ హ్ సీన్ ఆల్ ది శ్లోకాస్ దేర్. సో వెన్ సంబడీ ఇన్సల్ట్స్ అస్, హౌ ఇమోషనలీ టర్బులెంట్ వీ బికమ్. లార్డ్ కృష్ణ డిఫైన్స్ ముక్త పురుష యాజ్ ద వన్ హూ ఈస్ ఏబుల్ టు మెయింటైన్ ది ఇమోషనల్ స్టెబిలిటీ. వై? బికాస్ దేర్ ఈస్ అన్ యాంకర్ బిహైండ్ ఇట్. దర్ఫోర్ పరా విద్య ఈస్ మోక్ష విద్య, ఇట్ ఈస్ రాజ విద్య. దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ అపరా విద్య? వెరీ సింపుల్. ఎవరీ సైన్స్ అదర్ దాన్ దిస్ విద్య, ఆల్ నాన్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఆల్ మెటీరియల్ బ్రాంచెస్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్, దే ఆల్ కమ్ అండర్ అపరా విద్య. వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ క్వాంటమ్ ఫిజిక్స్, కాస్మాలజీ, మ్యాథమెటిక్స్, మెడిసిన్, మ్యూజిక్, ఎకనామిక్స్, ఎనీ బ్రాంచ్ ఆఫ్ సైన్స్, దే ఆల్ విల్ కమ్ అండర్ అపరా విద్య ఓన్లీ. బట్ ముండక ఉపనిషత్ విల్ కాన్సన్ట్రేట్ అపాన్ టూ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ అపరా విద్యాస్. అపరా విద్య ఆల్సో టూ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ అపరా విద్యాస్ విచ్ ఆర్ క్లోజ్లీ కనెక్టెడ్ విత్ ద పరా విద్య. దే ఆర్ ది కర్మ ఆర్ కర్మయోగ అండ్ ఉపాసన ఆర్ ఉపాసన యోగ. బోత్ కమ్ అండర్ అపరా విద్య. సో కర్మయోగ అండ్ ఉపాసన ఆర్ టూ బ్రాంచెస్ ఆఫ్ అపరా విద్య. బోత్ ఆర్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ యూస్ఫుల్ ఇన్ ప్రిపేరింగ్ ద మైండ్ ఫార్ కమింగ్ టు పరా విద్య. సో కర్మయోగ ప్రైమరీలీ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ పంచ మహాయజ్ఞాస్, ఫైవ్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ కాంట్రిబ్యూషన్ టు ద సొసైటీ ఫార్ ఇంటర్నల్ గ్రోత్. ద ఉపనిషద్ విల్ ఎంఫసైజ్ దాట్ కాంట్రిబ్యూటరీ లైఫ్. వెన్ ద ఉపనిషద్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ పంచ మహాయజ్ఞాస్, ఇట్ విల్ టాక్ అబౌట్ వైదిక యజ్ఞ, వేదిక కర్మ. బట్ దాట్ వీ షుడ్ టేక్ ఓన్లీ యాజ్ అ మోడల్. ఇట్ డస్ నాట్ మీన్ వీ షుడ్ ఆల్సో డూ వేదిక రిచువల్స్. వాట్ ఎవర్ రిచువల్స్ వీ నో అండ్ ఫాలో, దట్ ఈస్ ఓకే. ఇఫ్ యూ డూ నాట్ ఫాలో, దట్ ఈస్ అ డిఫరెంట్ థింగ్. ఇఫ్ యూ డూ నాట్ నో వేదిక్ రిచువల్స్ ఇన్ ఎనీ అదర్ ఫామ్, పంచ మహాయజ్ఞాస్ హ్యాస్ టు బి ఫాలోడ్. దిస్ విల్ బి ఎంఫసైజ్డ్ యాజ్ అపరా విద్య నెంబర్ వన్ ఫార్ ప్రిపేరింగ్ ద మైండ్. సో చిత్తస్య శుద్ధయే కర్మ. బై డూయింగ్ కర్మయోగ కర్మ యూ గెట్ ద చిత్తశుద్ధి, ప్యూరిటీ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్. అండ్ ద సెకండ్ అపరా విద్య ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఉపాసన, మెడిటేషన్ ఆర్ మెడిటేషన్ ఆన్ వాట్? ఆన్ కారణేశ్వర. అంటిల్ ఐ అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ కారణేశ్వర వెరీ వెల్, ఐ టెంపరీలీ గివ్ సమ్ ఫార్మ్ ఆర్ ది అదర్ ఫార్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్. ఐ థింక్ ఆఫ్ అన్ ఇష్ట దేవత. అంటిల్ వి డిస్కవర్ దట్ కారణేశ్వర, దట్ ఏకసార నిత్య సత్యం అహం అస్మి, వి ఆర్ అల్టిమేట్లీ గోయింగ్ టు సే అహం. దర్ ఫోర్ యూ స్టడీ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్ అండ్ యువర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఇంప్రూవ్స్. దట్స్ వాట్. అండ్ వన్స్ యూ నో దట్ భగవాన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎ పర్సన్ సిట్టింగ్ ఇన్ వైకుంఠం ఆర్ కైలాసం ఆర్ ఎనీవేర్, వన్స్ యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ భగవాన్ ఈజ్ కారణేశ్వర, దెన్ వాట్ డూ యూ రియలైజ్? దట్ ద ఎంటైర్ ప్రపంచ ఈజ్ నథింగ్ బట్ దట్ కారణేశ్వర అలోన్. హీ ఓన్లీ ఈజ్ అపియరింగ్ యాజ్ ద ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్. ఇన్ ద ముంటక ఉపనిషత్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ వీ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు సీ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ మంత్ర లేటర్ ద సెకండ్ ముంటకం. పురుష ఏవేదం విశ్వం కర్మ తపో బ్రహ్మ పరామృతం, ఏ తద్యో వేద నిహితం గుహాయాం, సో విద్యాగ్రంథిం వికరతీహ సౌమ్య. వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు సీ దట్ మంత్ర. యాక్చువల్లీ పీపుల్ ఆల్సో మే బీ ఫెమిలియర్ విత్ ద పురుష సూక్త మంత్ర, వెరీ ఫేమస్ సూక్తం. పురుష ఏ వేదకం సర్వం యద్భూతం యచ్చభవ్యం ఉతామృతత్వశేషానః యదన్నేనాతిరోహతి. సో భగవాన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ అ పర్టికులర్ పర్సన్, బట్ ఈజ్ దాట్ వన్ కారణం విచ్ ఈస్ బిహైండ్ ఆల్ ది నామరూపాస్. సో దిస్ ఉపాసన ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ విశ్వరూప ఉపాసన. సో ఇష్టదేవత ఉపాసన అండ్ విశ్వరూప ఉపాసన, దే బోత్ విల్ కమ్ అండర్ వాట్? పరా విద్య ఆర్ అపరా విద్య? బోత్ విల్ కమ్ అండర్ అపరా విద్య. అండ్ వన్స్ వీ గో త్రూ బోత్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్, వీఆర్ రెడీ టు ఎంటర్ పరా విద్య. అండ్ పరా విద్య ఇస్ వాట్? ఎన్క్వైరింగ్ ఇన్ టు ద ట్రూత్ బిహైండ్ ఆల్ ద నేమ్స్ అండ్ ఫార్మ్స్. వాట్ ఈస్ ద ట్రూత్ బిహైండ్ మీ, ద ట్రూత్ బిహైండ్ ద వర్ల్డ్? దిస్ ఈస్ దట్ ఈస్ పరా విద్య. దట్ ఈస్ ద ఫైనల్ వన్. బోత్ ఆర్ ఇంపార్టెంట్. వి డూ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ చాయిస్. మెనీ పీపుల్ ది ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్, డూ యూ ఫాలో కర్మ మార్గ, ఉపాసనా మార్గ, ఆర్ జ్ఞాన మార్గ? ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ కమ్స్ బికాస్ వీ థింక్ వీ హ్ గాట్ ఎ చాయిస్. ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ ఈక్వలీ ఇంపార్టెంట్, వీ హ్యావ్ నో చాయిస్. బట్ పరా విద్య ఈస్ కాల్డ్ సుపీరియర్ విద్య అండ్ అపరా విద్య ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఇన్ఫీరియర్ విద్య. వై? బికాస్ పరా విద్య డైరెక్ట్లీ లీడ్స్ టు లిబరేషన్, వేరాస్ అపరా విద్య డస్ నాట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ లీడ్ టు లిబరేషన్, బట్ ఇట్ లీడ్స్ టు లిబరేషన్ త్రూ పరా విద్య. సో బై అపరా విద్య వన్ క్యాన్ గెట్ చిత్త శుద్ధి, చిత్త ఏకాగ్రత, చిత్త నైశ్చల్యం, అండ్ దెన్ వన్ క్యాన్ గో త్రూ శ్రవణం, మననం, నిధిధ్యాసనం, అండ్ వన్ విల్ బీ ఏబుల్ టు గెయిన్ పరా విద్య. సో వన్ ఇస్ ఇండైరెక్ట్, దట్ మీన్స్ వాట్ అనదర్ ఇస్ డైరెక్ట్. అపరా విద్య ఇస్ ఇండైరెక్ట్, పరా విద్య ఇస్ డైరెక్ట్. ఫ్రమ్ ఇండైరెక్ట్ మీన్స్ యూ కమ్ టు డైరెక్ట్ మీన్స్ అండ్ దెన్ అటైన్ లిబరేషన్. దర్ఫోర్ ద ఆచార్య సేస్ ఎవరీ స్పిరిచువల్ సీకర్ రిక్వైర్స్ పరా విద్య అండ్ అపరా విద్య. దర్ఫోర్ పరాచైహి అపరాచ. నౌ గ్రాడ్యువలీ హీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బిల్డప్, అండ్ వాట్ ఆర్ ద అదర్ థింగ్స్ దట్ హీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బిల్డప్ దట్ వీ విల్ సీ మేబీ దట్ వీ విల్ సీ మేబీ ఫ్రమ్ ది నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక, శ్లోక నంబర్ 5 ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ క్లాస్. యో వేదాదౌ స్వర ప్రోక్తో వేదాంతే చ ప్రతిష్ఠితః తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య పరసమహేశ్వరః శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు. నారాయణ.